I want to first of all thank God for this ministry. I want to thank God for forcing me into this ministry, because I didn't want to be part of this ministry. And I say so because I didn't know Pastor Dan, and I didn't want to know him. But God forced me to know Pastor Dan. I think that was in 2007. And I don't want to give you a long story, but the summary of the story is that my friend, who is now an archdeacon in Anglican Communion, came around then and told me there's a new kid in town. And I said, new ministry in town. I said, what is the ministry? He said, Neko. They're interested in evangelism. They're interested in people who will sow. They're interested in people who will encourage evangelism. You know, even up to now, I don't know how to preach, but I encourage people who know how to preach so that they will preach. I said, okay, take 20,000 and go and give to those people. And my friend gave 20,000. I think that was the first or the second outing of Neko in Enugu. The beginning of the year, the following year, I usually keep my tithe. I pay to my church. So when I gather this tithe, very substantial one at the beginning of the year, and God said, those people who are in Enugu for evangelism, go and give them your tithe. Meanwhile, I don't know them. I was not there at the program. I just say, this one, I think, you know, at times when you hear the voice of God, you begin to wonder whether it's God that is speaking to you. It was almost like when God was speaking to Samuel. You know, Samuel will always return and ask, Father, are you calling me? He said, no. I wasn't sure. But I didn't have any rest, because each time I came, I kept it in my drawer. He said, so I forgot this thing. I will have given it out this last Sunday. The voice will, very silent but persistent, very, very quiet, persistent and forceful voice, will say, you have not given that tithe to those people. Huh? My brother, how do I reach those people? So I had to call my friend on phone. I said, please come. The people, I gave you 20,000 for the evangelism. I'm disturbed. Please call them to come and take this money so that I will have my peace, for God's sake. And that was how my friend invited Pastor Dan to my office. I was then in New Haven. And I said, young man, I don't know you from Adams, but God said I should give you this money. Please take it so that I can have my peace. You go your way. And Pastor Dan said, so I'm happy to know you. I'm pleased to know you. We discussed. And somehow he said, this is a prayer answered. I have always been looking for partnership. For me, I was also looking for people to partner with. And I thought I could find it with the Christian Lawyers Fellowship of Nigeria. But it was not to be. I'm sure because God didn't want it to be that way. So to cut long story short, we started this breakfast prayer meeting, through which we now gathered people. And Pastor Joe, who says he's my colleague, he has apologized. You're my senior colleague. You're a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm a lawyer. I wouldn't say a senior colleague. I say, how? I'm not a senior colleague. You're a pastor. Remember, I'm not ordained. And when they said colleague, I looked at Pastor Ike. I said, did you hear this young man? Praise the Lord. So, but I know where he's going, because the argument has always been, this man, are you a pastor or a lawyer? Because the Bishop of Enugu North, 2 years ago when I finished preaching in their church, I told him, I'm not a pastor. The bishop said, I confess to you, you are the pastor of the Diocese of Enugu North. You are now a pastor. So the argument is still ongoing, whether I'm a pastor or not. But let's leave it for another day. So we now started the breakfast prayer meetings. And grandpa, you see, when you come to this place and you say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy," we have grandpa here and we have daddy here. I said it some time ago. Venerable Dr. Okafor is a grandpa. Pastor Dan is a daddy. And grandpa said, "Ask Pastor Dan, what are you doing with these people you gather every time you have this your breakfast prayer meeting?" We said, "No, we just pray, bless them, and fellowship, and they go." Grandpa said, "No, there must be a way of bringing them together for constant fellowship and communion." And that gave birth to the King's Fellowship, which you now call the Great Arm of NECO. The only problem I have in that King's Fellowship is they are very undemocratic. They have not conducted elections since the inception. The same president has remained the president up to today. But I thank God what God is doing in this ministry. I thank God that I'm involved, and I'm happy I'm involved. And I don't give testimonies. The reason why I don't give testimonies is that if I come out to give testimonies, I usually don't know how to begin or where to begin. My friend will say, "Begin from the beginning. When you get to the end, you stop." But I don't know the beginning. I don't know the end. Since we joined NECO, it has never been the same for me. And as a ministry, Pastor Joe tried to summarize it. But Pastor Joe, you remember you were a witness in court. You forgot to mention that this year, 2022, the High Court of Enugu State delivered judgment in our favor in case involving the main headquarters, the headquarters of NECO, that is the Temple of Overflow. I think that's, you can clap and you need to clap. I can understand why Pastor Joe forget about it, because he's not a lawyer. If it were to be Pastor Ike, he would remember that there was a case in court. So I can forgive him. And why I have to mention that is that when I'm talking about my personal testimony, my personal praise report, it is tied to the praise report of this ministry somehow. Because last year we were in Federal Government College. And I said, this convention will continue to get better and better and better. This year's own is better than that of last year. And next year's own is going to be better than that of this year, in Jesus' name. When we bought this land, I think 3 million or 2 million, I forgot how much we paid for it. Somebody just came and took us to court, and we were going to court. After some time, we just had a meeting. I said, "Let's go and settle with this man." Even though from my own perspective as a lawyer and as a senior advocate of Nigeria by the grace of God, that this man has no case. We called him and said, "Come and take," this was about 5-6 years ago or so, "come and take 2 million naira and leave us alone." The man said, "No. We should give him 5 million naira." I said, "Okay. If you not take 2 million naira, let us go on with the case." Pastor Joe, you were in court. I was not in court. I never attended for once. But God was everywhere for us in that court. Praise the Lord. In fact, while the lawyer was doing his address before judgment, he saw the result of the case, because the judge put him on the spot and was cross-examining him. He saw the folly in his whole action. He saw his case collapse in his eyes even before the judgment. Praise the Lord. Why I'm mentioning that is that by the time I joined this ministry and we're having this prayer world conference, Pastor Dan, you always remember, I always tell you the story of how we'll have a camp commander who will come and say, women go this way, men go this way, to do their private things. Because it was in the open. We hadn't a place like this. And one of those occasions I attended, we had a small canopy outside. And Grandpa was in attendance, always attending. I think during the graduation of net students or something like that. And just from nowhere, Pastor Dan said, come and address the students. And that's how I'll come back to why he keeps, you know, giving me assignments without consultation. And that day I spoke by the leading of the Holy Spirit without preparing anything. I told the student about the fishermen who later became disciples, who gave their boat for the ministry of Jesus Christ. If you go to, I think, Matthew or Luke. When Jesus Christ was pressed, and he was pressed, and he was pressed, he needed a space to preach to the crowd. And I asked the fishermen, please, move a little bit into the sea. He entered the boat, and they moved a little bit into the sea. And from that boat, he taught them. He taught the crowd. And when he finished, he remembered those people who gave the boat for the preaching and said, fisherman, this is your net. Put it down into the sea for a catch. And they said, we've been toiling all night and we caught nothing. But because you said so, we're going to do that. And they put their net into the sea. What happened? They couldn't pull the haul of fish. They had to call people to come and help them move the fish into the boat. Even inside the boat, the thing was almost sinking. And I asked the next students, which one is your boat? And that's your boat. Are you prepared to donate it like those fishermen who later became disciples? If you are prepared to donate it, then be ready for bumper harvest of fish when the time comes. And I left it at that. If you ask me now, whether you say partner or colleague or senior colleague or junior colleague of this ministry, whether I have given my boot for this ministry, I will not answer that question. But what I will say just like that blind man who was healed. He said, I was blind now that I see. That is the answer to the question. I was blind, but now I can see. When we started, I was a tenant in a flat of 3 bedrooms. When we started that time, first time when he visited my house and prayed. Today, by the grace of God, I'm landlord of more than 10 tenants. Not one, more than 10 of them. When we started, I was, I don't want to use the word struggling. The reason why I don't want to use it is that about 31 years ago, when I was asking my wife's hands for marriage, she was telling her friends, one young man came and he's asking my hand in marriage. And they said, what is he doing? Well, a struggling young man. They said, no, you don't need a struggling young man now. I was a struggling young lawyer then. But today, by the grace of God, I'm in a position which every lawyer in Nigeria will aspire to be. Praise the Lord. And that position is the position of a senior advocate of Nigeria. Even before then, I was number one law officer in Enugu State as Attorney General and Commissioner for Justice. When Pastor Dan visited us, it was just me and my wife. Today, as I speak with you, There are six of us in the family. You see, you will not understand. The reason why you will not understand is that I don't wish you so that you understand. I don't want you to go through it so that you understand. But when you see people who have gone through it, that is the only way you can understand. And the only way to understand it is to multiply 12 by 24. If you multiply 12 by 24, you can imagine the number of agonizing days I went through with my wife from 1994 till 2018. Women here, you will understand what I mean. Because every month you think, yes, that is the month. If it's delayed for a day or two, you start praising God. When it starts pouring, you start weeping, you start crying. Praise the Lord. I was blind, now I see. That is the story. If you are giving out your boat, if you don't want to give it, you can keep it too. But if you ask me, you better do like the fishermen. Praise the Lord. Daddy in the house, listen to me, not grandpa. Our daddy in the house has given me a topic to share with you. And the topic is 2023 general elections. What is the role of the church? I hope that's what you asked me to talk about. And the reason why I don't want to quarrel with him, because I'll need to interrogate the other speakers, resource persons, to find out whether Pastor Dan gave them their own topic. Because fond of giving me my own topic, I don't know whether he gives others their own topic. Pastor Ike, I don't know whether he gave you your own topic. So when he gave me this topic, I was wondering, what does he want me to talk about? Because if he wants me to talk about the secular things about elections, I can talk about it. I can look at your civic responsibilities. I can look at the Electoral Act. I can look at the electoral guidelines. And then we'll talk about it. But because this is a Christian convention of the National Evangelism Christian Outreach, whatever we do, we must give it the slant of Christianity so that we will act and talk as Christians. Praise the Lord. Why are we interested? Or why should we as Christians be interested in the government of the day? Why should we be interested as Christians in the government of the day? Let me tell you that if you have not been interested, or if you were never interested, please now get interested. One man of God was speaking, I watched it in the social media. He said, after spiritual power, the next thing is what? Political power. After spiritual power, the next thing is political power. So that we should be interested. We should not be sitting on the fence. And the man did an analysis and said, he started with all the major churches in Nigeria. In fact, it was redeemed. He said, if you are talking about redeemed, they have more than 19,000 churches in this country. 19,000. And in Nigeria, you have 10,000 electoral wards, not local government. And if you go from Redeem to House on the Rock, go to Anglican, go to Catholic, go to Methodist, go to all these denominations and combine them together, you will find out that the number of Christians and I mean practicing serious Christians, is so overwhelming that if after praying, we deploy our energy to ensure that we have a righteous leader in this country, Nigeria will be better for it. But the problem I have is that some of us have, including me, have been sitting on the fence because of the corrupt system which we run. We have been praying. I encourage you to continue to pray. But I tell you this, that our prayer has been answered. Praise the Lord. Your prayer for Nigeria has been answered. I didn't say so. It's the vice president of Nigeria, who is a member of the APC and former presidential candidate. He said it openly. It's there in the press. And he said, you are praying and praying and praying. If God has given you a PVC, God has given you an opportunity to choose a leader for your country. And it's time for you to make that choice. Not very good to pray, oh. But do you know that even in the Bible, God gives us options and allows us to choose. In the Garden of Eden, the choice to eat the forbidden fruit was made entirely solely by Eve herself. She had a choice. Self-will. Self-will is innate. It's in you. What you do, or what you want to do, what you don't want to do. If you want to go to hell, you will go to hell. If you want to go to heaven, you go to heaven. The choice is yours. And why I'm saying that that prayer has been answered is that in a democracy, that's what it is. The people choose their leaders. And in a situation where you have been given credible alternatives, and I mean credible alternatives, the choice is for us, the choice is ours to make. Because we have the number. Whether the Muslims like it or not, we have the number. We can make a difference in the governance of this country. So I'll give you a reason. This is not monarchy. This is not monarchy. This is democracy. This is not even theocracy. For students of government, you know what I mean by all those terms. And one of the reasons why we must be involved in what happens, be involved in government, is because of what Solomon said in Proverbs 29, chapter 29, verse 2. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people do what? They mourn. They mourn. You have the responsibility, you have the duty, you have the opportunity to enthrone righteous people on the throne in the affairs of this country. And let me say this. This thing is referred to in the plural. It didn't say when the righteous is on the throne. Eh? He said, when the righteous are on the throne, the people will do what? They will rejoice. One politician was commenting and said, look, Buhari is not corrupt. It's the people around him. I don't care. If the people around him are corrupt, Buhari himself is corrupt. It's in the plural. When the righteous are, it's plural. When I was in the government, the governor took it out on one of the commissioners and was very, very annoyed with the commissioner. I said, excuse me, Your Excellency. He said, yes, what do you want to say? I said, in government, there's what we call the principle of collective responsibility. If the commissioner for works has failed, we as members of the executive council, we have also failed. Why don't we go to the root of the problem and see how we can salvage the situation? So this righteous people is in the plural. Look, we are witnesses to what is happening in this country. Where do I begin? Where do I stop? Is it in our currency? By 1983, when I had to buy my wig and gown and other things from Eden Ravenscroft in London, your naira was almost £1. Naira was more powerful than dollar, 1983. I was a graduate in the Nigerian Law School at the time. That time, 1983. By 2015, when this government came on board, it was 197 naira per $1. Now, as we speak, the thing is oscillating between 800 to 900 to 850 naira for $1. I can go on about the economy. Is it the security or insecurity? Where do you stand? And where is the righteousness? As a country, are we not mourning? As a country, are you not mourning? And that's what the Bible says. Because when the wicked bear it rule, the people want, the people mourn. That's why we must get involved to ensure that we enthrone righteous leaders in this country. I will tell you another reason why you have to be involved. I have said that after spiritual power, the next is political power. You know, political office holders can make a difference in your life. They may never make it in your faith because your faith is constant. Just like they tried to do with Daniel. Daniel said no. Or even with the apostles, in the Acts of the Apostles, when they said, don't preach again in the name of that man. And if you go further, when Paul was taken before the judges, they say, this man is talking about one strange individual, a strange doctrine. They call it strange doctrine. And one man who died, and he said the man has risen again. But is Christ risen? Christ is risen again. And he liveth forever and ever. So, I'm talking about government, how they can influence things. Remember the first Holocaust. What would have been the first Holocaust? In the book of Esther. King Ahasuerus. And the story of Haman and Mordecai. You know the whole story. When Haman said, look, let us sign a decree to kill all the Jews. And that decree was signed. And Mordecai, the uncle of Queen Esther, started, said, look at what is happening. Esther said, no, I can't approach the king now unless I am called. Otherwise, if he appear before the king without being called, of course, you know the consequence is death. The uncle said, no. Do you know whether it is because of this moment that you are called to be queen in that palace? I remember the story. Esther called the maids and they went into prayer and fasting. And they said, she said, if I die, I do what I die. She was going to approach the queen, the king. And she did. And the difference was made because of the intervention of Queen Esther. I remember the question from Mordecai. Do you know whether it's because of time like this that you are made queen? And I ask you, brethren, do you know whether it's because of times like this in this country that you are called upon to vote to enthrone righteousness? To make a difference so that the people will not mourn. People will rejoice instead of mourning. I'm trying to illustrate to you how political power can make a lot of difference in the lives of people. If I go back to my own communion, how it came to be, it has to do with the then king in England. And that legacy has continued up to now. There's a relationship between the king and the Archbishop of Canterbury in the United Kingdom. But the Anglican Communion in Nigeria had to make a break for it because they started introducing certain things. The summary of what I'm saying is that no person can become the Archbishop of Canterbury without the approval of the king. Now the king used to be the queen. And they were singing in those churches. We don't sing it now. Long live the king, or long live the queen, as the case may be. So I can go on and on and on to illustrate. Are you aware of the bombings? Are you aware of the killings? I watched BBC documentary a few days ago where they showed the churches in the north, in southern Kaduna, where they bombed churches, they killed pastors, they continue to kill men of God in the north, and nothing is done about it. And once in a while, you see an attack in a mosque, and the minister for misinformation, liar, Muhammad, will come and say, it's not only Christians they are killing, they're also killing Muslims. But compare the number and see what is happening in this country. I'm talking about political power and influence of political power on us as individuals, why we should get involved. Remember the topic Pastor Dan asked me to talk about, 2023 general elections, what is the role of the church? Another reason why I want us to get involved is because of what happened in his letter to the Romans. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13. I'll read from verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of what? God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Would thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Right, let me go to verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And if you go to the ministry of Jesus Christ in Matthew, remember the story when they wanted to tempt Jesus? If you look at Matthew chapter 20, and they wanted to tempt Jesus. I will come later to show you the historical connection. Because at the time of the ministry of Jesus Christ, Israel was under the rulership of the Roman Empire. It was under the Roman Empire. And any mistake, any speech, anything you say or do may be interpreted to be treasonable felony. Pastor Joe, do you understand that one? You not. Pastor Ike, are you here? Treasonable felony. So they came to Jesus and said, look, oh, this man, because all the while through the ministry of Jesus Christ, they've been looking, they were looking from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They continue to look for a way to entrap him, either to pitch him against the Roman authorities or to the religious authorities like the Pharisees and Sadducees and so on and so forth. So they came to Jesus and said, ah, come, you are talking about, you are the Messiah, you have come. And then you have come as a king of the Jews, the Messiah you sent from God for salvation. But I want to ask you a question. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar? Do we pay tribute? And the man, they said, let me see that coin. And they brought the coin. They said, look at that. Whose face is here? They said, that of Caesar. It's okay now. That one that it belongs to Caesar, give to Caesar. The one that is God's, give it to God. You see, here in our secular world, you have a civic responsibility which is not, and which, if not in conflict with your religious belief, you are bound to comply with. So that's why it's important we have a righteous person on the throne. That is why it's important that as Christians we get involved. That's why we're talking about this election of this year, 2023. So you don't sit on the fence. I'm not saying that you must obey all laws. You know the law which they passed during Daniel case, and then even the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles, they said no. Because when they asked, don't preach in them, and they said, if we don't preach in the name of Jesus, we cannot stop. We'll continue to preach the gospel of Christ. I remember also the experience when they approached Jesus and said, look, what is wrong with your disciples? You people don't pay tribute. And the Peter came to Jesus and said, see what these people are saying, no, we don't pay tribute. And Jesus overheard it and said, Peter, go to the sea and put the hook there. The first fish you catch, open it, take the coin from it, and go and give to them. Let us fulfill that civic responsibility. For those of you who have been to Jerusalem, there are some the Peter's fish. If sometimes they will take you through the Sea of Galilee, and you stop at a particular restaurant where they will serve you what they call Peter's fish. Because it's claimed that was where, Pastor Dan, you are laughing, that's because you were there. That's where they drew out the fish. So that's another reason why we must get involved. Because these people who are in charge of our affairs, somehow they make these laws, which may be obnoxious, but if they are good ones, you are bound to comply. Now let me come to this country you call Nigeria. People have called it so many names. You know what? I liken our situation to the situation the Jews found themselves some years back. That is the situation. That video I watched, the man said, we have prayed, Osiban just said it, you have prayed enough. God has answered your prayer. Why I'm liking it to the Jews is that if you go back to the Jewish history, starting from the book of Genesis, if you look at chapter 12, when God called Abraham, then Abraham, I said, I'm taking you to the promised land. From there, you know the whole story, how they moved to Canaan, from Canaan to Egypt, from Egypt back. And then the institution of the monarch, when they said, we want to be like them, give us a king. And Samuel warned them, and they still insisted, and so on. That is history. But there was a constant reminder of the promise of God to the Israelites. As long as you keep to my statutes, you will continue to be my people. That is the promise of God. And even when there were few kings in Israel who worshiped Baal, who worshiped idols, who did the wrong thing, God continued to say, these people are my people. You are my people. As I speak to you, God is still saying to the Israelites, the Jews, you are my people. You are my people. Now, if by law the Jews are heirs of Abraham and therefore children of God, by faith, through the redemptive work of Christ, you as a Christian, you have become the Jews of our time and children of Abraham and children of God. Am I correct? Now, if you are, I will draw this analogy. Historically, the Jews were dispersed throughout the whole world. So that between 1517 and 1917, there was no place. In fact, between 1517 and 1947, there was no place in the world called Israel. This one is a historical fact. There was no place anywhere in the world called Israel. Now, in 1917, the British took over. That place you now call Israel now today was inhabited by Palestinians and Arabs today. So in 1917, excuse me, the British government took over and started ruling those areas. Now, they colonized that area in 1917. And the then British Foreign Secretary wrote a memo that all those Jews who were dispersed around the world, across the entire globe, that they should be invited to come and establish a state called Israel. That was in 1917, during the First World War, was raging. The Arabs, all of them resisted it and said that was not possible. Even in 1918, they resisted it. And after the First World War, there was the Second World War. And during the Second World War, it was not enough that these Jews were dispersed across the globe. Hitler and his army and his allies, they went through all the nations. All through, they went through Poland, everywhere, Germany, Russia, France, everywhere. And they brought out all the Jews everywhere across the globe. And they started killing them. They started killing them. They killed so much that they didn't know what to do with the dead bodies. That was how one German scientist came up with an idea that, why are we punishing ourselves, creating environmental pollution? Why don't we build a gas chamber? They built a gas chamber. And then they put all those Jews into the gas. They had concentration camps and put all of them in the gas chamber. And people who were going, they didn't know where they were going because no person went there and came out to tell them what they were going to see. Because they will strip them naked and say, you're going in here for your birth. Ladies go through this way. Men go through this way. And they gassed them. And used the remains which were crushed. I understand. For road construction or for whatever purpose. They were performing all sorts of abhorrent human experiments on human beings, including pregnant women. Where there are times they tried to disembowel them without anesthesia. That was what the Jews passed through. Until after the Second World War, in 1948, the League of Nations, the whole entire world came together and said, all the Jews, the process, during that process, they killed 6 million Jews, men, women, children. 6 million. And I asked them to return. The current place you call Israel today was established in 1948. It was not there. It was established in 1948. And if you go around Israel, some of you have gone there. Pastor Dan, you have gone around, you went around Israel. You went to Israel. When they said he was not going, you know. He went for interview some years back. Pastor Dan went to interview and for his visa to Israel. They said this, they rejected his application for visa. I said, this young man will run away in Israel. And he came to me and told me, okay, they have not given me, they didn't give me a visa. I was angry. I was not a commissioner, I was just loyal. I was very, very angry. And I wrote a stinker. And they gave him visa. So the legacy of this, both the Roman Ottoman invasion, is still there in Israel. That's why if you go to the Pool of Bethesda, there's a chapel in the Pool of Bethesda. I don't know whether you want to. If you go to the chapel in the Pool of Bethesda, you will see the cross, which is a sign of our Christianity. If you go down, down deeper, you will see the crescent, which is a sign of Islam. It's still there today. So some of those legacies are still there. So that's how the state of Israel came to be in 1948. Now, the analogy I'm trying to draw is to tell us that as a people, we have passed through things in this country. You may not call it the Holocaust of the Jews. But if we cannot access our forest to hunt games, if we cannot access our farms to farm, if we cannot travel freely on the roads, if we cannot afford to pay school fees, we cannot afford to buy foodstuff, if we cannot afford to do things which are innate or inalienable, that's how they put it in law, that is, which appertains to you as a human being in this country, what do we call it? You know what I call it? The Holocaust of the living. Why I say it is the Holocaust of the living is that we are moving corpse. We are not dead, but we are as good as dead. That is the state of this country. That is where we are now. That was the state of Israel. But that's not where they are now. Are you with me? Are you getting me? Because I've said, if we are children of Abraham by adoption, if we are now Jews by adoption, if we are no longer Gentiles, if we are heirs, are we not entitled to the benefits of that adoption? Now, if you go to the law of adoption, if you are adopted, everything that pertains to the biological father of the parents is your own. You know, we sing and sing. Some of the times we don't even understand the import of the Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning. We don't understand it. Because if you go to Genesis and understand the circumstances that led to the blessing of Abraham, you will have a rethink about the seriousness of your life, your daily life as a Christian. What led to it? You know the whole story. Daddy tried to recap it yesterday or 2 days ago. Isaac, the only son of Abraham, was said, come and sacrifice that your only son. Remember, Isaac came as a child of promise from God. And the same God who gave Isaac to Abraham said, bring that child for sacrifice. And Abraham was ready without dissimulation and without argument and took Isaac. The poor boy was asking, we are going to the Mount of God for sacrifice. Where is the animal? God will provide. Meanwhile, as a human being, Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac. And when he got to the point of sacrificing Isaac, that was when God now intervened. God tested Isaac. I mean, tested Abraham. And that was how the promise came. And he said, as of blessing, I will bless you. Look at the stars of heaven. That's the promise. And if you are a heir of Abraham and you are singing that song, are you ready to honor God by obeying him when he asks you to do something? And if we are heirs, no more Gentiles. Even till tomorrow, the Jews call all of us Gentiles. If you go to Israel, they call, they are very, very particular about their race. Are we ready as heirs of Abraham to obey God as I'm calling you now, to do the right thing and enthrone righteousness in this country called Nigeria? What haven't we suffered? Just like the Jews suffered. What haven't we suffered? My wife, 1 liter of fuel now is 320 naira. Let's not deceive ourselves about the control price of 185 naira. And they're telling us about fuel subsidy. They're going to remove it in June. Why remove it in June? Why didn't you remove it in 2015? By 29th of May, 2023, the present government will leave. A new government will come. Why do we have to produce crude oil and export it? And they will refine it. They bring it to us. We buy it at any price they give to us. Why we have refineries? That's what I call living Holocaust. May it never come like it came in the Bible those days. You know, when there was so much hunger, the two women came together and said, "Let us eat your son. Tomorrow we are going to eat at my own." And they ate the son of that woman. The following day, they asked the woman, "Bring your own son." The woman said, "No, I'm not going to bring my son." That was how the king got to know what was happening in his kingdom and wept to God. Brethren, it's almost coming to that in this country. And that's why we must pray to God about this election of this year. We either get it right this time around or we are finished as a country. God has given us credible alternative. I don't care what you want to hear or the political party you belong to. When God is speaking, this project called Nigeria is God's own project. It's not that of any human being. You remember the case of Abiola? Remember the case of Abacha? Remember how Abacha died? Remember how Abiola died? Today we have Muslim ticket. They say it doesn't matter who. During the time of Moshe, Abiola was Muslim. In this campaign going on today, we have people who are tested and trusted. The choice is yours to make. Open your eyes, shine your eyes. Your prayer has been answered. Don't behave like the disciples, the apostles who were praying, I think for release of Peter or so, something. I think it was Peter. And when Peter was released, Peter came to the door and was knocking. And he said, "It's Peter. It's me, oh. Open the door for me." Some of the people were saying it's a ghost, too. But the prayer has been answered. You have been praying, your prayer has been answered. It's not a ghost. There are people God has sent to salvage this country. And whether you believe it or not, the time is now, not tomorrow. There have been a series of attempts to scuttle this election, which is coming up this year. I can go on, but I'll mention only two. You do not ask yourself why, since 2015, the Electoral Act we used in 2015 was the one that was passed in 2010. Since 2016, 17, 18, 19, all through, the National Assembly have been amending and sending amended Electoral Act to the presidency for assent. as stipulated under the Constitution, the president continued to find reason not to assent to the Electoral Act to be passed into law. There are so many things there people are afraid of, including electronic transmission of results from the polling booth. And they say no. And I approached one very senior, very, very senior person in the APC. I said, Oga, why don't you tell the president to assent to the Electoral Act? That was before the 2019 election. He said, Tony, during your own people time as PDP, why didn't people put that in, transmission of that result in 2010 Electoral Act? For me, it means that it was deliberate. So why do we now have the 2022 Electoral Act containing those provisions when the incumbent president will not be contesting an election in 2023? It's a question. I don't have the answer. As far as I'm concerned, Nigeria, as a geographical expression, is a work in progress. The reason why I'm saying it's work in progress is that when are we going to get it right? When are we going to get it right? When we got independence in 1963, a republic, we were operating what they call the Westminster system, where all the ministers passed through the house, and then from there they formed the executive arm. Or the military came, 1966, January, 16 June or July, 1967 Q, the Nigerian Civil War, and the military came, which, as far as I'm concerned, was an aberration. In history, in military history, we call it military interregnum. It was an aberration. The military has no business in government. They have no business in government. But from 1967 up to 1970, they were in charge, 1979. And they had a little stint, 79 to 83, they came in. And then from 1999, thank God it has not been interrupted. But I've never seen a country in the world. I'm a student of history. Go and check out. There's no country in the world that have operated the number of all these types of government or political arrangement, different types within this short period. Westminster, parliamentary system, military system, now presidential system. There's no other country in the world that is operating the presidential system except America and Nigeria. No other country in the world. Why are we operating the presidential system? With the huge expense and resources that go into sustain that government. And if, as I speak today, more than 22 years or about 23 years or thereabouts into this uninterrupted civilian regime, they are still talking grammar about a fledgling, nascent, all kind of fledgling democracy, nascent, experimenting democracy. How long will we need to experiment in this country? How long will we need to experiment with people's lives? How long will we need to experiment with our destiny in this country? I don't know. I'll round off. But before I round off, I've talked about the obstacle put on the way of genuine, credible election through legislation. Thank God we have the Electoral Act of 2022. And one of the presidential candidates was saying that one of one of the electoral parties was saying that it's not in support of electronic transmission of the results from the polling booth. The chairman of a party, in this, one of the leading parties. What is your problem? If our votes must count, why don't you allow free and fair election? So I've talked about that one. Legislative bottleneck. I think we have come out of it now. But there's another one which is imminent. Some not just imminent, but looming in the air. And that is institutional bottleneck or roadblock. Their INEC will come in. Please put them in prayers. Do you know that a few days ago, the chairman of INEC, the case brought against him was dismissed. What was the case against him? Somebody went to court and asked the court to hold that the chairman of INEC failed to declare his assets in accordance with the law and to ban him from taking any public office and to remove him as chairman of INEC when our election is just a few days coming. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There are people who are feasting. There are people who are feasting on the agony of us as a people in this country. And they want us to continue. They want the situation to continue as it is. Grandpa, I will round up. And I will invite you to come and pray. And lead all of us in prayer. It's important to pray. I have not said you should not pray. But that's your prayer. Match it with serious action. Where has it ever happened? You see, if we go back to 2015, sir, during the election of 2015, I was one of those people who prayed and fasted for Jonathan to become president, a Christian, as opposed to Muhammadu Buhari. I prayed. In almost all the churches I visited, everybody was praying. But it was not to be. Buhari won the election. But for the first time, I think in the history of Africa, a candidate in an election that lost that election picked the phone and called the victorious candidate and said, congratulations, a sitting president. And Jonathan made it very clear, made it point blank, that his ambition to become the president of Nigeria is not worth the drop of blood of any Nigerian. Some of you don't understand what was going on in 2015. But some of us knew what was impending, what was imminent if Jonathan was declared the winner of that election. I'm sure the Nigerian Civil War would have been a child's play. For some of you who were there then, I think some of you were in heaven that time, but some of us we saw the war. Jonathan called. And he took every person by surprise. That was why, when this government came in 2015, it took them almost 6 months to put together a cabinet. Because they didn't know they were going to win. They were not expecting it. They were expecting war. They were expecting war. And that war cry continued. And that war cry is still there now. I don't know whether he was following me. When they kidnapped people, it's only in Africa, in this country. It's only in this country that human beings will see a moving train. Train, no? Moving train. Stop the train. And kidnap the people in that train. And take them away. Very prominent people. I watched the video where those people kidnapped with their kidnappers. They were saying that the government of Nigeria know the agreement with them. They should go and fulfill that side of their own bargain. And I'm asking myself, what was the agreement? And who are these people? Innocent souls. One poor medical doctor, one lady. And so many people who lost their lives in the process. Because there was an agreement. I don't know the agreement. We don't know the agreement. And we are saying today, whatever agreement any person entered into anywhere, with any person, anywhere, anytime, to hold us hostage as a people, God will cancel that agreement in Jesus' name. Yeah.